Rav Moshe Feldman, Parshas Devarim.
Good morning, everybody. The shiur today, L'ilui Nishmas Mashveir, who was nifta recently, and Rav Tholi ben Yehudaria, and my mother, whose yodsite is in 13 days' time. Everything has a seder. Everything has an order. In this week's sedra, Vatikravun Eilai Kulchem, Rosheichem, Shivteichem, everybody came. The whole multitude came. They wanted to send meraglim. They wanted to send spies. Moshe Rabbeinu, from the onset, had misgivings about sending these meraglim. He knew it spelt trouble. And the reason how he knew it spelt trouble was Vatikravun Eilai, as Rashi says, the Yelodim were not mechabed the elders. The elders were not mechabed elder than them, and the leaders, and the shoftim. There was a complete disarray of Seder, so Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this spelt disaster. And Moshe Rabbeinu was about to send Meraglim only because the Eibishter had said, Shalach lecha anoshim. He did not want to send the spies. There was obviously no need to send the spies. It was definitely not Das Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, and as we know, the following subsequent story is the whole foundation of our Tisha B'Av and the whole foundation of the Golus in which we find ourselves in 2,000 years later. And the question is, first of all, on the actual Meraglim themselves, the 12 Kulam and Kulam Anoshim, Roshe B'nai Yisrael Heimah, they were all great people. They were all Anoshim Chashuvim Ma'oid, very, very, very important, noble people. That was the first thing. And not only that, but out of the 12 Meraglim, only two were able to live up to their title throughout. Yeshua and Kalev, as we know. The other 10 disintegrated into something we cannot imagine. And we have to understand what, first of all, three words, what went wrong. Kulam Anoshim, Roshe B'nai Yisrael Heina. If Moshe Rabbeinu picked 12 men, you could imagine he picked the greatest of the greatest. He wouldn't have picked anybody. So what went wrong? We know, Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it in Chumash, Vayisu me Har Hashem, they journeyed from Har Hashem, ketinoik habireach mi beis ha-sefer. Like a child who runs out of school. Now teachers, try as they might, and they do try very, very hard, to get children not to run out of school very quickly, because it's dangerous to run in the corridor. We say it at least 8 times a day at least. Dangerous, however, when it comes to the end of school, you need to be a gibor chayil ma'oid ma'oid to stop the children running out. They all want to be mekayim divrei chazal. They all want to be mekayim divrei rashi ketinik habireach mi beis ha-sefer. Can't blame them. They want to be mekayim rashi. But the thing is, as we said before, everything needs a seder. And maybe the seder is children do run out of a beis ha-sefer. I could be mayed on that for at least 36 years. Children do run out of a beis ha-sefer. However, when it comes to adults, when it comes to grown-ups, we need to understand that everything has to have a step-by-step seder. And if you're going to have a situation where straight away people, even if it's Anoshim, and even if it's Roshei B'nai Yisrael, if they are let out from Machane Shechina, from the camp of Klal Yisrael, proxy to the Mishkan, proxy to Kvod Hashem, and they're let loose into a wild land, the result is going to be a breakdown of Seder. And they'll lose whatever they gained by being Anoshim and Roshei B'nai Yisrael. It was too much. Sometimes you have a situation where a person goes to yeshiva. A boy goes to yeshiva. And he wants to become really, really great. He wants to become the biggest masmid in the yeshiva. And he stays up till all hours of the morning and early hours of the morning. And he's there and he's learning and he hardly goes out. And he never sees the outside. Ruba de ruba of those kind of cases do not succeed. It's too much. Tinnik habareach mibeis ha-sefer is confined to tinnik and beis ha-sefer. An adult needs time to adjust, to go step by step and stage by stage. A Baal Teshuvah knows that you cannot tell a Baal Teshuvah the first day that he's got to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. It won't work like that. It's got to be step by step, stage by stage. Everything has a Seder. So when it came to these people leaving Machane Moshe Rabbeinu and going out into Eretz Canaan as it was then, it was too much. They couldn't take it. 10 out of 12 couldn't take it. It's almost like a passenger on a plane who loses altitude very, very swiftly, and you need oxygen very, very quickly in order to survive. It's too much. We can't take it anymore. It needs time to adjust. But let us imagine the situation. We very, very, very seldom have the chance to just sit back and imagine the situation as it was. 12 spies return after 40 days of spying the land. We're waiting and waiting and waiting every day for the spies to return. The spies come back. Two of them are positioned next to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua and Kalev. The other 10 do not stand still. The other 10 go to their tribes. They go to their families. They spread out, they fan out among the congregation. They go to their families. And they say, listen to what I've got to tell you. You've no idea what disaster we're heading into. You think Mitzrayim was bad? You think building bricks was bad? This is gefährlich. This is unbelievable. This is horrendous what we're going into. There are giants so big you can't even see the heads. The heads are in the skies. You can't even see their heads. It is impossible to be able to conquer those giants and inhabitants of the land. And they went around to their families and people genuinely began to cry. And when people cry, hearts get broken. You see people crying, and you see adults crying, it's terrible. Yesterday, my children came round to me to wish me happy birthday. One of my grandchildren got hurt, suddenly coming out of the car. The child began to cry. I can't tell you what it does. Only for a few seconds. Here we're talking about adults crying. Have you ever seen adults crying? It's 1,000 times worse. It's awful. I don't mean that to Leviathan. I mean even a normal situation. And now we're talking about many, many adults crying. And crying and crying and crying. Multitudes of families are crying. And because they cry, other people begin to cry, and other people begin to cry, and other people begin to cry, and it's the weeping and the howling. It's human nature par excellence. This is how humans behave. What does the Eibishter say? Atem bechisem bechiyah shel chinam. You cry a weeping, a cry of nothing. Chinom means for no reason. As our mummies have always told us, I'll give you something to cry about. I'll fix for you b'chia l'doiros. And the question is, this doesn't seem fair. These 10 very, very influential people, and they had already been influential beforehand, Roshei B'nai Yisrael, they had gone round to all parts of their families and their tribes, crying and crying, making people broken-hearted, making people distraught. And it continued right through the nation. And these are people, mind you, who survived Yetzias Mitzrayim. When I say survived, these were the fifth who did not die b'mei Choshech. So these were the cream of Klal Yisrael. Creme de la creme. Who can blame these people for crying? The very last thing to call them is b'chia shel chinam. This is the exact opposite of chinam. Why should that fix a b'chia of the destruction of 2 Bote Mikdash, of Spanish Inquisition, of Crusades, of First World War, which began on Tisha B'Av, which led to Holocaust, which led to millions of Achenu B'nai Yisrael being wiped out, whole kehillas, whole towns, whole cities being wiped out. Because of that b'chia, which didn't seem to be b'chia shel chinam, what's going on? And the answer is, in short, if a person needs to step back, and a person needs to say, yes, these people were there, and they did see Canaan, and they did see the giants, and they did see something which seems insurmountable. However, the Eibishter is giving us a present. The Eibishter is giving us a matana of Eretz Yisrael. When you get a present, when you get a gift, you do not throw it back in the giver's face. You don't give a patchin upon him and say, now here you are, take it, I don't want it. If somebody gives a present, and we're not talking about somebody now, we're talking about Melech, Malchei, Amlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he's giving us a present of Eretz, Chendo, Tova, Rechava, this must be the best present we can get, and everything becomes really, really surmountable. And because it takes stages. As we said before, you can't do it all at once. You can't hop in and grab. It's got to go stage by stage, step by step. We have no idea what we're capable of doing. Winston Churchill was a nobody throughout his life. He failed in school, he failed exam after exam after exam. When it came to politics, he failed almost every entry into politics, he failed, and every chairmanship he wanted, he failed. At the age of 62, when people are beginning of thinking of retiring, he became Britain's greatest prime minister ever. Thanks to Yimach Shemai V'Zichroi, that was obviously, but he became Britain's greatest prime minister. In other words, a person's kaychas are tremendous. A person cannot say, I can't do it. If a person says, I can't do it, it's because he's trying to chop it all in one go, or in only a few gulps. You want to finish a coffee quickly, and it's boiling hot. You can't do it in a few gulps. You'll burn yourself. And you won't enjoy the coffee at all. You'll enjoy A&E instead. A person who wants to be able to enjoy, a person who wants to be able to reap benefits, it's got to go stage by stage, step by step. Let us now turn to the Gemara which dealt with the beginning of Churban Bayis Sheni. And we all know that the story began, as Chazal say, Akamtza Uba Kamtza Chorav Yerushalayim. Strangely enough, and more bizarre, right from where we begin this story, Hahu Gavra. It does not mention this Labus's name. And he was the villain of the whole story. He was the one who drove Bar Kamsa out of the party. He was the one who would not give in at all. And yet, his name is the only one that's not mentioned. Hahu Gavra. One kasha is, this man wanted to drive out Bar Kamsa. He came into the party, his own party, and he saw that his close friend Kamsa was not there. He looked around and he saw Bar Kamsa was sitting at the party, bold as brass. So he said to himself, this is something I cannot do. I cannot enjoy my own Suda as long as Bar Kamsa is sitting there. No way. I can't do it. Try as he might, and he didn't try at all, he had Bar Kamsa thrown out of the party, and as we know, the rest is dire history. The question is, had this gentleman, Hahu Gavra, we'll call him G, let's say G would have had the presence of mind to be able to say, I'm now in a desperate situation. I'm about to have somebody thrown out of my party. I've never done such a thing in my life. A party's meant to be a time when you exercise shalom, vereus, and friendship, and everybody comes and enjoys themselves. I am about to throw somebody out. This is something against all grain. To be able to throw somebody out of the party, let's try other avenues. Maybe this can be a vehicle for friendship. Maybe this can be a chance to patch up and make friends with Bar Kamsa again. And maybe he can be on the same level of friendship as Kamsa. But he couldn't do it. Because he didn't try step by step, stage by stage. Straight away, out. I want him out. He would not go through the process which was desperate at that time. And then we come to the very, very vexing question of all. What about the Chachamim? He even said himself, he was thrown out of the party. And he said, there were Chachamim there, sitting there. Hoyil v'havu yosfer rabbonon v'loi mochu bei shema mino konicha lehu. There were people sitting at the party. Tamidei Chachamim, rabbonim, gedolim. They didn't say a word. What went on? How could we justify that situation? Nobody said a word to drive out Bar Kamsa. A man in front of their eyes was about to be picked up, humiliated, and thrown out of a party, and nobody could say a word. Here again we have to come to the base of our shir, Be'ezras Hashem. That they sat back and they said, each one of us in turn can't do very much. He's not going to listen to me. The other one said, he's not going to listen to me. He's not going to listen to me. It's not going to help. But what they could have done is step by step. Go over and talk to G. Go over and talk to him. Go over and try and avert his attention from this manic, the urge of his to drive Bar Kamsa out of the party. This is what they could have done. To take it stage by stage, until eventually the situation, the horrible situation, could have been averted. In the end, as we know, Bar Kamsa was thrown out of the party. And the Gemara tells us in Gittin that even though he was a Yid, he made the desperate decision that he was going to go to Rome, and he was going to cause terrible trouble to the Jewish people. He was actually going to go and have a message to the emperor, Mordu b'chol Yehudoi. The Jews have rebelled against you. What do we see? He said, send them a korban in their Beis HaMikdash and see if they bring the korban. So they sent a calf, and while the calf was on transit, he put a mum in the calf. Some say it was in the lips. Some say it was in the eyelash. A place that, according to us, according to Din Torah, it is a mum. And according to the Romans, It's not called a blemish. What is pshat in that? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, very, very deep thought. He says as follows. He says, when it comes to the Romans, for them, the main part of a person is a limb. The big things. But when it comes to the small things, which is only a step, which is only a part of the lip, or it's only a part of the eye, there we don't have to call that a blemish. That can be cut, that can be disfigured, that's fine. Only when it's an eva, only when it's mechusa eva. Klal Yisrael showed no, the exact opposite. Every small, tiny bit counts. Even if it's only an eyelash, and even if it's only a part of a lip, it doesn't matter. The whole thing has got to be completely shalem, however small or minute it might seem. There's a pasuk in Eicha, Tumasa b'shuleha, loizochra acharisa v'tered peloim. The Novi Yirmi and Eicha, he says, the Tumah of Klal Yisrael is b'shuleha. It's in its hems. A person could walk through the mud, and he feels, oh, I've kept my clothes clean. I've kept the mud out of my garments. Where would the mud be? B'shuleha, under the hems of the trousers. So what happens? If he's a Baal Seichel, he comes home and he wipes the hems clean and he starts from scratch. Now he's got clean trousers. If he doesn't do that, the mud will stay at the bottom of the hems. When he walks further and further in the mud and the dust, the mud will rise because the mud is still there from the time before. And it will increase up his trousers until his trousers are soiled. Tumasa b'shuleha, loizachra acharisa. He did not remember the end part to clean every single part. And then what happens? Vatered peloim. It seems as if it's sudden. It seems as if there's a sudden urida, but it's not sudden. Because if a person does not, at the end of each day, in the privacy of his own bedroom, quietly say to himself, what kind of day have I had today? Where have I gone right? And where have I not gone so right? What can be corrected? What can be improved on tomorrow or next time I'm in a similar situation I was in today? What went wrong? B'shuleha, only in my hems of my trousers. But I don't want to become loizochra acharisa, because I don't want to be vatered peloim. There's a pasuk in Kisavoy with a teichacha. The pasuk says, v'heitza lecha b'chol she'orecha. The enemy will come and attack you in all your gates. And redes choymoisecha ha'gevoyhois v'habtsurois. Until your high and fortified walls start to go down. So the Medrash in Eicha tells us an amazing, phenomenal thing that happened. Listen to what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that when Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian general, came to the walls of Yerushalayim, he came with a tape measure. And he measured the walls every single day. Every day he saw that the walls had gone down by 2 fingers. A minute amount by 2 etzbois. We're talking about giant high walls of the city. Before long, adredes choymoisecho hagavoyhois v'habtsures. 2 fingers, 2 fingers, 2 fingers, and day by day by day by day until adredes. Until finally the walls had gone down completely. The walls had been disintegrated. Stage by stage, step by step, the walls have come down. The same as we said before, when it comes to good things, a person can say, I can't do it, but he can do it if he tries. The same also when it comes to Tomosa Bushuleho, or it comes to Alredes, the same thing is until the walls have gone down, step by step, stage by stage. We find an amazing pasuk in Sedra Chukas. We have an amazing story that Moshe Rabbeinu had hit the rock, May Meriva, instead of speaking to the rock. What does the pasuk say? Hey, May Meriva, Asherovu bnei Yisrael as Hashem, vayikodesh bom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became sanctified through them. Says the Ramban, what does it mean, vayikodesh bom? He became sanctified through them. He became sanctified through Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron were able to cause this Kiddush Hashem. Pardon? Moshe and Aaron caused a Kiddush Hashem. The Pasuk says, Yan lo ha'emantem bi l'haktisheni. You did not cause an emunah in me to sanctify me in front of the people. There could have been a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and you failed. And that's why, lo yisaviyu es ha'kol hazeh, you will not bring the congregation into Eretz Canaan. So how can the Rabban say, vayikodesh bom means, Moshe and Aaron made a Kiddush Hashem? And the Ramban's answer is awesome. He says, Heimon mei meriva. These are the waters of quarrel. In fact, there were two waters of quarrel. One was in Beshalach, and one was in Chukas. In Beshalach, Moshe was meant to hit the rock. Moshe had to hit the rock. But in Beshalach, it was only le'enei ziknei ha'om. Only the elders of the people saw. In Chukas, it was the Eidei Kol Yisrael. Everybody saw. In front of the whole congregation, Lifnei Ha'edah. You, Moshe and Aaron, made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, yes. But you could have made an even bigger Kiddush Hashem. And because of that even bigger Kiddush Hashem that you didn't make, the Pasuk says, Yan lo hemantem bi lahaktisheni. Can you imagine a person, a gvir, a person who went out of his way to support people, to give people tzedakah, to give people, to help people out. An ani came to him, a poor person came to him. He needed some tremendous help. He was about to be evicted from his home. He was given 10 days to be evicted from his home. Either pay up or out you go. He came to this gavir and he begged him, please help me out. I know you're able to help me. One day, Mitzvah Hashem, I'll pay you back. The gavir said, it so happens I'm going to the Leipzig fair. I'm on my way to go now. I'm only going to be away 7 days. When I come back, you'll still have 3 days' grace. I'll give you all the money you need, and in 3 days you'll be able to pay the landlord. You'll be fine. And he went to the fair. He was in Leipzig. He went to the fair. He was Matzliach. And he came back, and he paid the poor man. He gave the poor man even more than he needed. And the eviction was averted. He had 3 days' grace. Everything was fine. Years later, when this gavir was nifter, the son of this rich man had a dream. And in the dream, a malach came to him and said, let me tell you what's happened to your father's neshama. Your father, as soon as he was nifter, the neshama went up to Beis Din Shamala, was commended to go straight to Gan Eden. Out of all the tzedakah you've given throughout his life, straight to Olam Habah, no questions asked. Your father's neshama arrived at the gates of Gan Eden, and there was a malach blocking his path. He said, what's going on? I'm coming into Gan Eden. He said, oh no, you're not. You're waiting 7 days. 7 days? Why 7 days? What's up for 7 days? He said, do you remember years ago? You made that man wait. You were going to the fair. You could have sorted it out. Yes, but he had 10 days. I gave him his money, and that was fine. Tell me, said the Malach to the Gevir, how do you think that man spent those 7 days that you were in Leipzig fair? Do you think he was able to sit calmly and ruhig with his family and sing Zmiris on Shabbos and have a wonderful time and relax? He and his family were in tears, crying and crying. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows whether you'll be successful in Leipzig? Who knows whether you'll change your mind when you come back? They were distraught. They were distraught for 7 days. You kept that person waiting. But when he came back, I gave him a hoin rav. Yes, you gave him a hoin rav. But the fact is, that tiny bit of saving that person all the agmas nefesh that you could have caused in those 7 days, you spoilt it. And that's why you're going to have to wait 7 days. And waiting outside the gates of Gan Eden for 7 seconds is bad enough. Never mind 7 days. When we are confronted with a situation, we don't know what it means. When we're about to do a ma'aseh tov, and we think, yes, I'm going to do it. And you're about to do it with the 100% Kiddush Hashem that could possibly be done. So when it comes to Vayikadesh Bom, every single step has been filled. Because we can ask a question. We are yearning for Mashiach. We're yearning for the Beis HaMikdash. Can we actually honestly bring the Beis HaMikdash? Do you mean to say that the Tanoim and the Amoraim and the Rishonim and the Geonim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, all the Poskim, they couldn't bring Mashiach and we are going to bring Mashiach? Compared to them, who are we, what are we? And the answer is very, very simple. Everything has already been prepared for us. The house has been built. The front garden's lawn has been mowed. The gate's been painted. Everything's done. All we need to do now is simply to put the numbers of the door on the house and everything's finished. That's all you need to do. We are the people to put the numbers on the door. That's all we have to do. The holes are there for the screws. The screws are placed in our hands. The hammer's placed in our other hand, or screwdriver, whatever the case may be. All we need to do is insert the number. Otherwise, everything's deleted. It's done for us. Because the steps have been arranged for us right through from the start. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Eichol was written al yidei Aleph Beis. Except for the final Perek, the whole of Eichol is written either in one set of Aleph Beis, or in the case of the third Perek, three Psukim of Aleph, three Psukim of Beis, three Psukim of Gimel, whole sets of Aleph Beis. But they're all written according to Aleph Beis. And the question is, what's the whole idea of very nice Aleph Beis? Why Aleph Beis? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, She'ovru al, why was Churban Beis HaMikdash and Golos Churban Yerushalayim? She'ovru al Aleph Beis, I'll say the Aleph Beis. They transgress the order of Aleph Beis. And the question is, Aleph Beis, what so it? Say Ovru al Divrei Torah, what's this Aleph Beis business? What's it got to do with Aleph Beis? And the answer, as we keep on saying, it's al Seder Aleph Beis. Everything has got to go according to a proper order. Everything. Stage by stage, as we keep on saying. And the Chofetz Chaim says, when it comes to Ashrei, Ashrei is Tehillel David according to Aleph Beis. Says the Chofetz Chaim, we know there's no Nun because of Nafla B'shulas Yisrael. Soymeich Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim. It's according to Aleph Beis. says the Chofetz Chaim, because Seder is important. It's no good a person starting off with Kol HaRishoyim Yashmid. I'm going to go out and destroy all the Rishoyim. Before that, you've got to be a Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Before you go and Kol HaRishoyim Yashmid, you've got to appreciate Tov Hashem LaKol. You've got to appreciate Rachamav Al Kol Ma'asov. You've got to appreciate all the whole Seder Aleph Beis. And only then can you come on to Kol HaRishoyim Yashmid. It's got to go according to the Seder of Aleph Beis. And that's why when it came to the Egel, the Eibishter said to Moshe, Soru, it doesn't say Soru min haderech, Soru maher min haderech. They went away speedily from the way. They went very, very quickly. And if you look in Pirkei Avos, where it says, out of all the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says, Reb Shimon ben Lassanel, he says, what's the important thing to a person, for a person, Sheyitbak Bohadam? He says, Be a Yerechet. Fear sin. Later on it says, what is Ezer, sorry, to describe all the Talmidim, it says, Yerechet. Later on when it says, what is a Derech Sheyitbak Bohadam? Reb Shimon ben Lassanel says, Horoye es hamoilad. And the two go together. Because when a person comes to sin, he doesn't go and sin straight away. It's not straight away going off the derech. When it comes to sin, horoye es hamoilad, you've got to see the consequences. You've got to have a look and to see what's going on. Stage by stage, step by step. By the way, the vote before Aremes Choymoisecho with the walls coming down, I should have said that's B'shem the Al Shech HaKodesh. The Gemara in Gittin, the famous Gemaras which deal with the Churban Yerushalayim, tells us an amazing story. An amazing story. The Gemara says there was a story with Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah. He went to a great city in Rome, and they said to him, Rabbi Yeshua, there's a Jewish boy in prison. He's beautiful, Yifei Einayim. He has beautiful eyes. The Toiv Roye, spectacular to see. Uksoisov Sudurus Le Tal Talim. His hair locks are really beautifully combed. He has lovely locks of hair. Halach V'Omad Al Pesach Beisar Asurim. So Rabbi Yeshua went to seek him out. In those days, prisons were not five-star hotels, especially not in Rome, and you can imagine the boy was suffering. Amma, so Rabbi Yeshua said, he brought a pasuk from Yeshaya, Mi nosan limshiso Yaakov. Who gave Yaakov to be spoiled? The Yisrael abuses him. Ona oisei tinek. So that child answered, V'amma, and he said, Haloi Hashem zu chotonu loy. It's because of Hashem we sinned to him, Veloy Avu Bidrachov, and they did not want to go in his ways, Veloy Shamu Besoirosoi, and they didn't listen to his Torah. When Rabbi Yeshua heard this, he said, wow, this is amazing from a child. I promise you he is going to become a Moira Hoiroa Be Yisrael. I'm going to redeem him with any money I can. He did redeem him, and it wasn't long, says the Gemara, before he became a Moira Hoiroa. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what's so brilliant what the boy said? In those days, Midon Vad Be'er people were Boki in Tanakh. This Pasuk, Minosan Limshisa Yaakov, is a Pasuk in Yeshaya. All the boy did was continue that same Pasuk. That's all the boy did. The boy said no more, no less. So what's the big deal that he answered, Halay Hashem Chotonu Loi? Says the Chasam Sofer, it's like this. Because he began, but the Pasuk begins by saying, Yeshaya begins, Chotonu Loi, we sinned to him. Then it doesn't carry on we. It carries on they didn't want to go in his ways. And they didn't listen to his Torah. What the boy was trying to tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah wasn't what the Pasuk, just simple types of the Pasuk. He was saying that if we sit back and we allow our days and our weeks and our months and our years to continue, thinking that we're doing fine and not trying to check our steps as we go along the way, In the end, what's going to happen? Chatanu loy, we will sin to him. And all the other people who could have learned from our ways and could have become better people and could have shtayed and could have progressed, they v'loy avul bidrachov, they won't want to go. Because why? Because an outsider can see the truth. We think we're doing right. We belong to each other and we think everything is fine and we think we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash. And the answer is we can build a Beis HaMikdash. We can rebuild it very, very soon. This year could be the year of building the Beis HaMikdash still. But the fact is that if we sit back without a cheshbon of our step by step and we just allow things to continue as they are, outsiders will turn round and they'll be very, very perceptive. They will be able to detect things that we didn't even know were there. Because an outsider can. An outsider will see this flaw and that flaw and that flaw and that flaw, and they'll say, they think they're so marvellous, do they? They won't want to go in our ways. They will say, this is how from people behave. This is how they drive. This is how they park. This is how they shout. This is how they scream. This is how... And in the end, people who could have copied our thousands and thousands of good ways, thousands and thousands of fantastic deeds we do, and the chesed we do, ben adam l'moko and ben adam l'chaveru, will not be taken on, because they will see the flaws, and the flaws have not been rectified because we've not stopped along the way at least once a day in the evening, stepped back and said, what kind of day have we had? What can we rectify? So we have to make sure that a complete Kiddush Hashem is made. Nobody has to wait 7 days and nobody has to wait 7 seconds. It's a complete ongoing and outpouring of chesed all the time. With a lev shalom which can be perceptible by everybody. And everybody will say, this is a nation we want to belong to. This is the Torah we want to belong to. And in that way, when the Eibishter sees that we're following in such a direction, he will say, you are following step by step. I am now going midah keneged midah to continue all the step by steps which have been done in beginning the building of the Beis HaMikdash all the way from the time of its destruction. And I will continue to rebuild and rebuild, to join all the steps together. And finally, I'll be able to join you. Because as Chazal say, that when Aaron HaKohen would see Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah says he will see you and he will be extremely happy. He'll be really joyous to see you. Say Chazal, had Aaron known what the Torah would write about him, he would have come up towards Moshe Rabbeinu, but Sufim over Mekoilos. He would come with dances and with trumpets and with cymbals. We don't know what each deed means. We don't know how deep each action, what each action can do. We think things are superficial. Yes, I'll give him, I'll help him, I'll do, I'll daven, I'll learn, I'll help him. Nothing is superficial. Everything is completely deep. Everything has repercussions and ramifications ad belisof. But the greatest ramification of all will be the final culmination of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to happen very soon, because we can do it. We can do it and we will do it. And together we will complete all the steps, complete all the stages, until the Eibishter will stamp the stamp and say, done. Assignment fulfilled. And here you are. I'm giving you the present. We'll not be like the Meraglim who calls weeping and crying and thrown back in his face, Chas v'Shalom. We will readily accept the matana of the Beis HaMikdash. V'sham nismach kulonu b'mheira v'yomeinu. Amen.
Beautiful words from Rabbi Shapiro on that. You're off with someone's willy boy. I mean it, Adam will make a big trade.